Welcome to The Business Mind. Join me, Mark Fechner, as I sit down with business leaders to discuss their real-world challenges and formulate forward-thinking, creative solutions. We focus on real people with real issues, and we tackle those issues in real time. I don't have the answers. I help you find the answers within you. Sometimes all that is needed is just a slight change in perception. The Business Mind Show starts now. Good morning, everyone. I am Mark Fechner, and welcome to The Business Mind here on Transformation Talk Radio, the show that highlights our guest's pursuit of excellence through the process of one-on-one coaching. I would love for you to be part of our conversation, so please feel free to add comments or questions to the Transformation Talk Radio website, or if you would prefer, our Facebook live feed / Transformation Talk Radio. So for the last few episodes, I've been opening with the fact that we are 3 years post-pandemic in this country, and a lot of businesses, executives, and a lot of my guests are in the process of trying to adapt their businesses to this new economic paradigm that we're all facing. But if you are in the arts, if you are in the theater, in music, in the fine arts community, in gallery showings, this challenge has been even more difficult. Just because, for the most part, artists rely upon the discretionary income of their patrons to provide an income. So if people don't go to the theater, if they don't buy art, if they don't go to concerts, the artists don't have an income. So we're going to talk about this very subject with my guest. He is an award-winning fine arts painter. He is the owner of Vandervin Studios. Please welcome Mr. Mark Vandervin.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about you, man?
So regardless of my introduction, please feel free to tell us a little bit more about you, your art, and what we're going to talk about today.
I am, there's a lot to talk about for sure. I call myself a tonal impressionist landscape artist. I marry sort of the idea of the tonalism, which is the Hudson River School style of art, with the impressionist style of art. Kind of the East Coast to the West Coast, being in the Midwest, kind of grew up with both styles. Went to the American Academy of Art in Chicago, graduated in 1991, started in illustration before I got into advertising. Stopped painting completely for a while, raising a family and all, and then got back into painting again. And once I started doing that, then it was, okay, how do I turn this more into a business? Because as Mark and I have talked before, the arts are a business. The creative process, I always viewed the creative process as not, but after you have the product, then it becomes one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The challenge lately has been, as you had mentioned about the pandemic, I was in three galleries before the pandemic. One of them folded at the very start of it. One of them folded in the middle of it. And the other one just recently retired in October of last month. So at this current point, I am no longer in any galleries. I do some local art fairs here or there. But the challenge is really, how do I get my work in front of people who are trying to buy it now? Because before, right, I didn't have to rely on myself for that. I could rely on the galleries to do that. But now, since there's really not many galleries left, it's much harder to do that. So that's
You shared with me in our pre-interview stuff, 40 to 50%, the amount of money that the galleries are taking, it was really eye-opening to me, how much money that they take out of the sale when something is in their galleries.
It's almost highway robbery in some ways, and we artists kind of view it that way, but at the same time, we've needed them, so we've put up with it. if you're dealing with an agent, if you're a musician or an artist, illustrator or something dealing with an agent, I believe they're commonly taking, and you can correct me on this, you may have some experience in this, but I know with illustration agents, they're commonly taking about 25-30%, somewhere there, you know, at most. But in the gallery world, they're taking commonly between 40-50% and even higher.
That's
wow. Yeah. I signed on at a gallery on Michigan Avenue for a year, just to see how it would work, you know. And I agreed.
By the way, Michigan Avenue in Chicago,
just in Chicago,
for our audience's sake.
And I did it as an experiment. I was going into it as an experiment. Mm-hmm. They doubled my prices overnight and took 75%, which, again, I agreed to. I knew what I was getting into.
Right. And no, I understand.
I've got a good friend who's like, that's just insane. I'm like, yeah, it was. And I knew it was, you know.
And so for that 40, 50, 75%, what is the gallery providing the artists?
They're commonly providing a show a year, a solo exhibit a year.
Okay.
And again, the 75% is extreme. That's practically.
Well, it's Michigan Avenue, which is already a high rent.
Exactly.
You know, high rent district. So, you know,
So they're providing. One, their clientele. If there've been a gallery that's been around for a while, they've built up a clientele list. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're getting their clientele. You're getting introduced to their buyers, and people who buy from galleries are buyers. They're not just lookers. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. They're actually going to buy the artwork. So you're getting that. You're getting exposure in that respect. You're getting usually a solo exhibit a year. It's usually in the agreement, not always, but usually is. Sometimes group shows are in there as well. You know, mm-hmm. you can be part of a group show. It used to be that they would pay for all advertising, but mm-hmm. that has changed now. It's not nowhere near as common. Now I know they kind of expect an artist to do their own advertising for a while before they'll pick them up, to make sure that they're committed to their own career. And even then, I've heard of galleries, I've not experienced this, but I've heard of galleries splitting the advertising costs with the artist.
It kind of harkens me back to the days of when you'd go to a restaurant or a bar, and they would look at you saying, well, how many people do you have? You know, how big is your following?
Right,
how big is your mailing list? And if you didn't have a certain number of people on your mailing list, they weren't interested in booking you.
That's correct.
Because their interest is selling beer, you know, at the bar. As a jazz musician, I was not in the kind of crowd that would, you know, elicit a lot of beer drinking.
You needed to go punk rock, Mark.
I needed to go punk rock, and that just wasn't in the cards. But that's what it sort of sounds like, you know, until you have a certain following, we're not interested in having you show up or hang your stuff in our gallery.
Yeah, it definitely, you definitely get that feeling.
That's interesting. Okay.
Especially with the larger galleries, you know.
So in our conversation today, what specifically would you like to explore?
I think I would like to explore, again, I think I'd like to maybe do some brainstorming and just try to figure out what are some other options for me, you know, that I can go and get my work in front of people. I mean, there are things I am currently doing, a little few and far between, certainly things I'm considering doing. I've been done a lot of my own kind of brainstorming on this as well. But you know, the hard part is always trying to figure out, is it viable to spend the money towards those things when you don't know what the return will be?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but that's sort of the challenge of everyone who does any kind of marketing whatsoever.
Yeah. Right. It is, you know, but I also, being in advertising, you know, one of the things that we say is, you know, what happens when you don't do any advertising? Nothing.
That's true.
You know, you know, it's part of it is the promotion of it.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is a good place to take a quick break. Again, you are listening to The Business Mind. I am Mark Fechner. Remember, please make your comments or questions on our Facebook live feed or the Transformation Talk Radio website. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about and do a little brainstorming on what we can do about and helping how artists can get their artwork and name and whatnot out there. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Here's a quick tip from Jason and Patricia at the Ecosystem Approach Show. This is a new way to approach self-help.
See all problems, challenges, and objectives as energy issues. Determine the energies that are blocking you and remove them. Instead of asking, what do I do, ask what energies are blocking me.
Say to yourself, I direct all my resources in all dimensions to eliminate. Name the emotions that are blocking you. Some form of fear, insecurity, anxiety.
Take a breath and blow the barriers, the negative energies blocking you, into the processor behind us. Keep doing it.
If you want to hear about our show, A New Way to Approach Self-Help, go to our website, theecosystemapproach.org, and under the radio tab, search for Is Self-Help Obsolete?
Listen to all of our shows because we teach you how to apply energy techniques for everyday life in ways that are practical and useful.
See you Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific or find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Are you wanting more for your life? Are you ready to create your life with confidence and contribution? We all have a gift to give to the world. Becoming you is that gift. In order to truly live your life, you have to become you on purpose and with intention. Leah Rowling supports you in becoming you using the B Method, consistently producing results for hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners. For more information, visit leahrowling.com.
Welcome back to The Business Mind. I am Mark Fechner, and my guest today, Mark Vandervin of Vandervin Studios. We're talking about the challenges that artists in general face in creating art and trying to create a living at the same time. Mark, just before we go too further into this, how can our audience get a hold of you?
The easiest way is at my website, which is VandervinStudio.com.
Vandervin is VandervinNE Studio.
Correct.
Singular or plural?
One.
Only got one studio.
This is it. .com. you know, you can also just type in my name, Mark Vandervin, in it, you know, or even MarkVandervin.com. I've got a forward link to it. It'll take you to the
And if you do type his in his name, you'll get you can always find a bunch of images that Mark has. And as a matter of fact, during the show, we can't see it right now, but there are some of his images, some of his paintings being displayed. So if you have any interest in those, please reach out to Mark and have a conversation with him about that.
Yeah. So website has all my information, Instagram, Facebook as well. So
okay. Oh, good. Instagram too. Yeah. Great.
Absolutely.
So before the break, we talked about, you know, let's discuss or brainstorm some ideas of how you can, you know, get your artwork out there, how you can, you know, be more visible. So one of the things I want to ask about, and the pandemic's taught us a lot of things. It's taught us about how we do business. It's highlighted some of the deficiencies that we have in how we transact business over the last 3 years. There, you know, the things that were problems before kind of got a big old spotlight on them during the pandemic. So in your case, what has the pandemic taught you about your business?
About my business. I think, well, how do I put this? There's kind of a couple different aspects of this. One is, I think it's taught me and several other artists that we have to kind of do this on our own now, that we've got to be our own marketing firms, our own, you know, promoters, mm-hmm. our own, you know, ways of getting our name out, show exhibitors, etc. Personally, I actually struggled a lot through the pandemic and found it very difficult to create because I didn't have any deadlines to create too. I find if I've got like, oh, I've got a show coming up, I can be very focused on the work and get the work done. Mm-hmm. But when there is no show coming up or no plein air event coming up because they've all been canceled, suddenly I'm going, well, then, you know, I have to paint for me, but I don't know that, you know, I find that deadlines really help me.
Okay.
Get stuff done, you know. Cool. Otherwise, it's like, well, I don't really have to get that done, or you know, or I can stay on one painting for way too long, you know. Mm-hmm. So those are probably the things I've learned, you know.
Okay.
And the camaraderie, just the being able to get together with other artists, talk art, show art, critique art, you know, so you can get better as an artist. Again, I'm a forever student, so you know, always trying to be better.
I think that's what those plein air events are.
Yeah. So a plein air event, I'm also a plein air painter, and all that means is outside. So because I paint landscapes, you know, there are studio landscape painters, and I do a fair amount of my work in the studio as well. But I find that working from life is the best way to paint. So I try at least to get out and do studies outside. So I'm literally working from life. It's like, it's no different to me than a portrait painter working from a model. They're working from life, and then they can really see what color is doing, values are doing, shadows, light, etc., and really capture that well. I'm just a landscape painter, so my figure, you know, is outside in nature,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
So they hold these events, these festivals, that can be anywhere from a day to a week long, where you go and you paint for that time period, and at the end of it, they put a show together in a big, you know, event. It's fun. They're a blast to do. I do love them. And I've got one coming up I've got the first Brushes of Spring in April, third week of April, which is down in New Harmony, Indiana. And then I've got the Paint Grand Traverse, Michigan in June.
Oh, okay.
So I've got a couple of them coming up.
Cool. So when you say one of the challenges or one of the deficiencies that have come up, and what you've learned is that artists in your particular genre have to start thinking about their being their own marketers. Tell me more about that.
Artists like to paint. We're not great. We're commonly, and I include myself in this very much, commonly not great business people, you know. We're creatives.
Yeah.
We want to come up with ideas. We want to, you know, play with color and things. Marketing. But in order to have a business, you have to get your name out. You have to get customers.
Right.
You have to get clientele, patrons, or whatever you want to call them. You know, right. I have to get somebody to buy the work.
Right.
Yeah. And that supports me. So that's the challenge. Is I'm not, even though I've been in the advertising business, you know, industry, I find it very difficult to market myself or brand myself, you know, in a way that I think is works well to show what I do. You know, I had a friend tell me once, and I think he's 100% right. He's like, if I could say it in words, I wouldn't have to paint, you know, he's like, I'd be
which,
a writer.
Which sort of belies the whole notion of a picture's worth a thousand words.
Well, you know, it is, but you don't have to say the words, you know. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's just that idea. It's like it's hard to toot your own horn, it's hard to figure out how to do that consistently, where to do that consistently, even sometimes. Mm-hmm. I know for myself, I'm on and off with Instagram. I've been posting a few posts recently. Mm-hmm. But then I'll take a break from that. And because I'll just be focused on something else, on painting or shows or getting things together. So, I got to get posting again, instead of making a habit of making sure I'm posting something every day, every other day. I mean, I don't even know what's expected anymore.
Right.
You know?
Right. So for yourself, what have you learned about your own marketing? And what has been most effective for you?
I think doing the plein air events is very effective.
Okay.
You get to meet the clientele, you get to, the collectors who are buying your work. Mm-hmm. It's a public affair. They promote it all. I don't have to do any of the promotion of it, really. I mean, I do my own personal promotion of it, but mm-hmm. not to the level that the event, usually a art center or organization is putting it on. They do a lot more of promoting it than I have to do. I just get to mm-hmm. show up and be, hey, look, here's one of our artists, and if you find him, go paint, talk to him and stuff, and those are, I mean, they're somewhat structured in ways, like you have to be at certain things at certain times, so to make sure that the collectors get to meet you, which I think is a great thing. I'm all for meeting my collectors, I think we buy from the artist as much as we buy the work.
Okay.
Our connection to the work, I should say. So I think that's probably the number one, probably the best way I've gotten my name out there. That and getting awards at these events or at mm-hmm. shows, mm-hmm. It gives you something that you can promote. It gets printed in newspaper or online and stuff. So and shows a legitimacy to you as an artist, I think.
Right.
People say, "Ooh,
no, he's an award winner." And having gone through your Facebook page and I don't think we're connected via Instagram, but I'll fix that after the show.
For now, we should be, buddy. So
yeah, we should. Absolutely.
We will fix it.
Yes, we will. You certainly have had a lot of events and where you've been awarded, where you've been, I don't know. Blue ribbon is such a thing in your world, but
it is. And it is. Yeah.
So what is the what's the possibility that if plein air events are effective for you and what you're doing, what's the possibility you could do more of them?
There are lots of them.
Okay.
So in that respect, I can be doing lots of them.
Okay.
The challenge arises, and certainly something I've thought a lot about, is often you have to travel for these events.
Right.
So your overhead starts to go up.
Right. Obviously. Yes.
Right. So, if you sell well, you can cover costs and hopefully make a profit.
Right.
If you don't, or get awards, because awards, they give you money as well. Or most mm-hmm. places do. You can make money that way. If you don't, then that becomes, that's a lot harder. You can make decent money at these things, especially the really big ones. I've not been a part of the national ones, the Sonomas and those things. Mm-hmm. But you can make money at those things. I think the slightly off topic here, so pull me back if you want, Mark. I think the best money making machine I've got is teaching workshops. Okay. I make the most money when I teach workshops.
Okay.
And that's one of those things that as an artist, we have to think about is we have to think in terms of multiple streams of income.
Right.
You know, I don't know too many, I know a couple, but I don't know too many artists that make a living solely off of selling their artwork.
Unless you're probably in that top 0.1% of artists out there, the Thomas Kincaids that, you know, are kind of ubiquitous throughout a lot of the smaller galleries in the country.
Most are unable to do that. Most of them have multiple streams, whether they're selling prints, whether they're doing workshops. You know, there's a few different ways, you know, some sell calendars and whatever else, you know, multiple ways to do it. So figuring those things out too,
you know. Okay. So how do you go about incorporating more workshops into your business plan?
Getting a hold of art centers, and finding out if they're interested in hosting me as a guest artist workshop.
Okay.
It sounds really easy and probably is, you know, like anything, it's finding those art centers, you know,
and then
seeing if they'll be able, if they're willing to have the agreement. You know, in order for me to make money at a workshop, and this is getting a little in depth here, I hope you don't mind.
That's fine.
In order for me to make money at a workshop, I have to do it as a per person cost. Mm-hmm. So if I'm doing a 3-day workshop and I've got, you know, and I can expect to have a minimum of 5 people, mm-hmm. I need to put a per person cost on that group.
Right.
Now, hopefully I can have 10, you know, once you get much past 10, you get to like 12 and 14, that workshop starts to become very difficult to actually manage.
Right.
The 10 spot is the perfect spot.
Right.
So you price it per person. And then I just tell the galleries or whether it's through a gallery or an art center, this is what I need. You tack on what you need, mm-hmm. and let them tack on however much they want.
Right. Whatever profit they need to.
Right. And they could double it, or they could do very low, or 10% or whatever, they feel they need to make their money.
Okay. You know?
That's why I think those are pretty profitable. I do know places that are, we'll only pay you like $20 an hour, $25 an hour or something like that. I'm like, I spent 40 hours on the workshop before I even came into the workshop. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
How am I recouping that cost?
Yeah. And so kind of putting on your advertising hat, then your marketing, how can you go about using those skills to get into doing more of those types of workshops?
Yeah, this is where I always wonder, like, is it better to do cold calling? Is it better to send a preliminary brochure, you know, just to introduce myself a little bit and then do a call afterwards, you know? Mm-hmm. In order to, because that's part of it, you know, a lot of it is, how do I introduce myself to these people who I've never met?
Right.
If I've met you, we can have that conversation. I can have it pretty easily. But if I've never met you,
right,
you know, how do I go about introducing myself and saying, this is what I have?
Well, how did you go about getting into this, the doing the workshops and the plein air events that you do now? How did that come about?
It came about through friends, mostly.
Okay.
The very first one I ever did was Door County, which I didn't realize at the time how big of a one that actually is. And it was early on in Door's. They had just started off. I think it was their second or third year.
Right.
And I just had a friend, Kathleen Newman, who said, hey, I'm going to be up in Door County at a plein air event. Why don't you apply and see if you can get in too? You know? So I was like, cool. Okay. I've never done one. No idea what to expect. You know, jump in, get in and just have an amazing event, sell out. You know, I mean, it was an incredible event. Went back a few years later and the level of art had changed drastically. Okay. It was now dealing with a lot more nationally recognized artists and even some internationally recognized artists.
Okay.
I was still in my beginning stages of getting back into the art world, you know, felt really out of place and painted horribly.
Yeah.
You know, the failures we have for success, right?
Well, and I would say that if it's only a failure, if you didn't learn anything from
it. Oh, I learned a ton. That's exactly right. That's how I look at it too, Mark. And I learned a ton, you know, and a lot of it was get your nose to the grindstone and learn how to do this well.
Right. Exactly. So,
but yeah, through friends mostly, and then through doing these plein air events, like last year I taught at Paint Grand Traverse, cause I'd done the Paint Grand Traverse the year or so before. And I was like, hey, I'd like to, you know, be curious if you'd be wondering if I could do a workshop here. And they'd be like, oh yeah, we'd love you. You know? So,
okay.
You know, that way, but then I've already met the person. So it's easy to do. It's the.
So in thinking about that and just in business in general, what you're basically doing is you're tapping into a network of individuals that, you know, that do these things. And what I know of networks is that, you know, people of the same feather flock together. So, you know, the person that, you know, is hosting the door event, probably knows people elsewhere. So what's the possibility you could, you know, talk to you people that you already know and say, hey, listen, I'm looking to do more of these. What is, you know, who are the people that you know that I could contact and get a warm introduction? What's the possibility of doing that?
I would say pretty good. Yes, I would say pretty good. Last year at Pink Grand Traverse, I met Gina Ward, who works for Plein Air Magazine as a marketer or advertiser.
There's a magazine called Plein Air Magazine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Cool. Had no idea.
Yeah, sorry. And I met her, and then I was talking to her about teaching workshops, and she goes, oh, well, you know, talk to this person up in Door County, you know, and see if you can get up there. It might be a good spot for you. So I haven't contacted them yet, but you know, because I'm still in that process of, is that right or not? You know, I think it is. I just haven't contacted them yet. Certainly.
Well, and briefly to touch on, you know, is that right or not? What feels not right about it?
Well, they've changed. I don't want to get too much into this. I know that they've recently changed the people who one of the head peoples there who works the workshops and stuff. Organizes, puts them together. I'm not as familiar with that person as I was the previous person.
Okay.
Two is I have this belief in my head that Door County is one of the big plein air events. And even though I won't be doing the plein air event exactly, you know, I won't be doing the plein air event itself, the idea of going to the Peninsula Art School and teaching workshop there, boy, in my head is like, boy, you better be of that caliber.
Okay.
You know, which is probably a complete lie. You know, when I really stop here and talk to you about it and think about it, it's probably just a made up belief in my head. There's nothing
that you're downgrading your own abilities here.
Yeah, I'm downgrading my own abilities, which I do a lot. It is a habit that I have as an artist, and I never realized it until last year, again, when I was at Paint Grand Traverse and staying with a fellow who's a collector and friend and stuff. And Kurt was telling me, like, you know, wow, you're really hard on yourself, you know? And I was like, yeah, I guess I am. It's, you know, it's part of the reason I've gotten to the level I'm at is because...
And I think in fairness... Those artists that really do strive to be at the top of their game, that's sort of part of their makeup, is that they need to, they're the, you know, it's sort of like, you know, if you take any musician or an athlete, the only one they're competing against is themselves.
Yeah.
In the end.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, you know, you're not competing against the guy on the easel next to you. You're competing against what you can do and how you can do it. And when you start making that comparison and go, oh, well, look at that. Oh, that's pretty cool. You know what? Well, gee, I'm not doing that. You know, yeah. then you go down a rabbit hole that doesn't lead to anything productive.
Yes. Yeah. There's, they made it into an Apple TV movie as well. And my wife got me the book. It's I can't remember. It's like the horse, the fox, the owl, and the, or not an owl, mole, and the boy, or something like that.
Okay.
Book by Mackie, I think is his name. It's the author's name. Anyway, in it, there's a quote that I read that I was like, this is brilliant. Like, you know, the worst thing you can do is compare yourself to others.
Yes, that's very true.
And it's like, oh my god, it's like so true. And yet we do that all the time, right? Yes. You know, like even when I talk about like levels of art,
mm-hmm.
Well, they're at a national level, therefore they're better, therefore it's a comparison, it's a judgment.
Yeah, not necessarily.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, not necessarily, and it may not be a direction I want to go.
Right, exactly.
With my art.
And I think in the arts, it's even more rampant in this notion that, you know, oh, well, you're not like this. Or, you know, I mean, I can think of dancers, I can think of musicians, I can think of people in the theater, you know, conversations mm-hmm. I've had with a lot of my artist friends. That, you know,
there is lots of rejection in art.
Oh my god.
And on things like if you're an actor, well, your hair color's wrong.
Yeah.
Like
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Ridiculous stuff. You know,
I mean, oftentimes talent and ability have absolutely nothing to do with your employability at that point.
Yeah, correct.
Had a very open conversation with friends of ours whose daughter is into music theater, mm-hmm. and that's the struggle she's been facing. You know, she's incredibly talented. She's got a beautiful voice. She can act, she can sing. And she's not getting the callbacks that she thought she would be getting. I think that'll change in time.
Yeah.
You know,
it will.
It's that whole demoralizing, upfront, you know, well, you're not good enough, you know, compared to whom?
Yeah, right.
You know, and I think that's like I said, I think that's even more true in the arts than other professions.
Oh yeah,
just you know the scrutiny that we put ourselves under.
Yeah, we talk about the awards, like Mark, the award winning artist, etc. You know, mm-hmm. I can show you the rejection slips, which are far more.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, but I want to be positive
on this show. Listen, fail my way to success. You know?
Exactly. So what do you think you want to start to try to do differently now that we've had, you know, in doing this? We've come up with a couple of ideas. What do you think is
I don't like the word network. It's just a word I don't like. You know, I like the idea of like, hey, I can go
a network,
talk to Christy or go talk to, you know, Marianne or whoever, and let's go, you know, ask them, hey, do you know any of these opportunities that I would love to start doing this more? And mm-hmm. like, that sounds great. Okay. When it's, oh, I've got to build a network, that sounds cold and unpersonal.
Okay.
And I'm a person who likes connection with people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
You know,
well,
so I like that idea of, talk to the people.
All right. So how would you rephrase it in your head?
I'd say just go ask friends.
Okay.
Just go talk to your friends and, you know, and go find out. Drop my pen.
Sorry. Oh,
there we go. you know, so I like that idea better. You know, just talking to the people you already know. Because there's also this, you know, you get these imposter syndromes, right? Where you get this feeling of, well, then I have to impress them. Then I have to be somebody who I'm not really.
Mm-hmm.
At least in my head, that's where my head goes.
Yeah.
But if it's just, oh, it's just a person, it's just a friend, it's just somebody I've already met. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I can call them up, send an email, message them, whatever, you know, and that's easy, you know?
Okay.
So, because otherwise it's a judgment. What if they reject me, am I being judged for that? And again, I know that's heavier thing.
It sounds like it depends on how you go about approaching it. You know, in my business, yes, I do go to networking events, mm-hmm. but I never think of it as, you know, a yay or a nay from someone that I'm talking to. It's just, I'm going out to meet people.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
I've had to learn to do that at the plein air events.
I'm sure.
I would get like anxiety attacks because they draw some big crowds, mm-hmm. you know,
sure.
And I would get some anxiety attacks and I had to learn. I'm like, you know what? You're just here to meet people. You're just here to,
that's right. It's all
that's
about,
it. That's all you are.
And you know, people just are coming to see what you're doing. And that in and of itself can start a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, so that's a definite plus. I mean, I'm definitely on board with contacting friends, acquaintances, etc., reaching out and finding out what other opportunities are out there for me.
Okay.
Solves one aspect of it. Let's talk a little bit about getting my work out to the public's eye.
Okay.
If that's okay with you, because that's part of the other aspect of it. The workshops is one, but the work, selling the work, getting the work out to public's eye and selling the work is the other part of it.
Right.
No. Because now that I don't have galleries, you know, right. to show the work, how do I get it in front of people? I've got my website.
Well, I think, again, how can you leverage the people that you already know?
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah.
You know, you've got, I don't want, I'm sorry, I'm using the word network.
It's okay.
But you have a collection of people in your industry that are in the exhibiting or event mm-hmm. space.
Yeah.
So how can you go about leveraging those connections as well? When you reach out and say, hey, you know, are you interested in having, you know, I'd love to do a workshop, or I'd love to put on a plein air event or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, who do you know that would be interested in that?
Yeah.
What's the possibility you could reach out and talk about those things with those people?
Yeah, and that even opens up the possibility of, you know, talking to people I know or friends I know and stuff and saying, hey, let's have a show together.
There you go.
Let's do an exhibit. Let's do it can be a group or it can be a couple few people or, you know, how do you
start to gather people in numbers?
Yeah.
You know, you have other artist friends that you work with, you know.
Even doing like pop-ups and stuff. So
yeah, doing a pop-up event for you and, you know, people in, you know, and if you're doing a plein air event, you know, have a pop-up event with, you know, fellow artists.
Yeah.
You know, during that show. You said you had one coming up in April.
Yeah. That's the first Brush of Spring, which is put on by the Indiana Plein Air Painters Association.
So
you don't want to do it during the show because that would, you know,
distract from the show.
Yeah, it distracts from the show, you know, and it's also kind of poor form. They won't invite you back.
I get that. Yeah, I get that.
You're there for their show and their thing. And you do that dance.
We need to take a break.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We need to take a break. So one more time, tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Again, the easiest way is through my website, vandervinstudio.com. That is VANDERVINNE studio, STUDIO. It has my phone number on there, I believe. It's got a contact sheet, email, etc., as well as Instagram and Facebook are probably the easiest ways.
Cool. This is The Business Mind, and I am Mark Fechner. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, Mark is going to give us some ideas of some of the takeaways that he is going to try to implement going forward and whatnot. If you yourself have any insights or questions that you would like to share, please feel free to do that on our Transformation Talk Radio website or the Facebook live feed / Transformation Talk Radio. So Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you love deep, meaningful conversations? If you've never liked small talk and have been on a personal growth journey for a long time, you'll want to tune in to Transformation with Martinet, real, raw, and vulnerable conversations every Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests share empowering stories of transformation. If you are ready to accept and love you for you, visit MartinetEmmons.com.
Do you want to come back to yourself? To come back to your own power? To come back to your dreams? Dr. Tassel Shanebrook will help you utilize transformational mindset and energy techniques to superpower your conscious and subconscious mind so you can be your own hero. Enjoy the relationship of your dreams, your best feeling body, financial abundance, free time, and ease. You are the one you have been seeking. Visit drtassel.com to find out more.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to The Business Mind with myself, Mark Fechner. So, Mark Vandervin, tell us, what are you going to walk away with? What's your takeaways from today's session?
My takeaway from the session has been, I think the biggest one is not to look at it as it's networking, but to look at it as just meeting people. I think that's a huge one. To talk to others, to use that network, use those friends, use those people, brainstorm with them, talk to them, find out what they do, how they've been managing the same process. Because all of us artists are in the same problem. We've got the same issues. You know, how do we get the work out there without galleries, without reps, et cetera? Mm-hmm. Talk to them, see what they'd be interested in doing as we were just talking a little bit, you know. Maybe doing a post plein air event show or mm-hmm. something, you know,
right.
Who would be interested in that? Maybe doing an exhibit together, a pop-up exhibit or something like that. Find out mm-hmm. who'd be interested in doing that and then brainstorm where we could hold that at.
Right.
How we would promote that and get people.
And then maybe if there are costs involved, there share costs. So,
advertising
can be now not just on you. It can be shared amongst.
Yeah.
Whoever else is doing the event with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, which definitely helps. Definitely helps. You know, cool.
Anything else that has come to mind?
I don't think so. At least not immediately. I think just the idea of finding out what other people's interests are in doing things together,
mm-hmm.
you know, contacting the people who I know, mm-hmm. you know, for the workshops, et cetera. And again, contacting friends and other people I know to see how they've done things, how they do things, and if they would be willing to work together to put on shows, do pop-ups, brainstorm about what things we can do as artists.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, and I think this is true in the arts community in general, there's strength in numbers.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of actors who start their own theater companies because mm-hmm. it gives them control and their strength in numbers. And you get to, you get that collaborative, cohesive type of engagement.
Yeah. It's one of the things I like about the plein air events and about the workshops is it brings artists together, because mm-hmm. when you're painting in the studio, or even quite often just by yourself outside, you are by yourself. It is a solo endeavor.
Yeah, it's very solitary. I agree.
Yeah. So meeting those people, I think, is very important, especially because we are so, just as artists or, you know, painters, we often get so isolated.
Yeah. Yeah, I agreed. And I think to that end, the idea of it's always been a challenge for individual, you know, especially painters, sculptors, poets, you know, writers, they're so tied into, you know, their own heads.
Yes.
You know, musicians who, you know, practice, you know, we're tied into what's going on up here. That we tend to forget about the communal, camaraderie that happens within the communities. So that sounds like a great idea, tapping into that more.
Yeah,
for yourself. Okay. Anything else that you might want to share?
No, I think that's about it, buddy.
Okay,
I appreciate your help.
Well, I appreciate you being here. So if you, dear listener, would like to contact me, or if you would like to be a guest on my program, I would welcome that conversation. You can go to my website, markfechner.com, or mark@markfechner.com. So thank you, Mark, very much for being here. If people haven't gotten the notion, Mark and I have worked together before. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of artistic interests in line with each other. So I always love having those kind of conversations and exploring that creativity. Not that business isn't creative. I think business is highly creative. But anyway, thank you for being here, for sharing this challenge, and for being open to, you know, allowing all of us to kind of peek in and see your process. And how you're going to, you know, kind of resolve this. So our next guest is going to be a business partnership. Ray Novak and Eric Touche, they are the owners of Chicago Fireboat Tours. It's a very cool thing. They have actually renovated an old Chicago fireboat that was retired and are now doing tours of it up and down the lakefront here in Chicago. But that's not what we're going to talk about, because they are both veterans, retired Navy veterans, and they are starting a non-for-profit to help veterans transition from military to civilian life and the challenges they're doing it. And the cool part is that they're doing it on a retired naval vessel, which I'm just all geeky out about, I have to say. So I would welcome you to join us at our next episode. The Business Mind airs the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 10 a.m. Central. That's 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. So until we meet again, be safe, be healthy, and be profitable. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Business Mind on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mark Fechner, where we focus on real people with real issues, and we tackle those issues in real time. I don't have the answers. I hope you find the answers within you. The Business Mind Show airs the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Sometimes all you need is a change in perception. A certified coach will listen to your challenge, ask you intuitive, open-ended questions, help you find fresh perspectives, and then hold you accountable to reach your goals. Coaching is an investment in yourself that can create paths to greater success. To find out more about my coaching, go to markfechner.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.